Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. In studio with me today, Matt Miller, Social Service Outreach and Volunteerism Specialist for Send Me St. Louis. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning.
Glad to have you in studio.
It's great to be here.
So, Send Me St. Louis. What is Send Me St. Louis, Matt?
Sure. Send Me St. Louis is what we call the capacity building arm of Lutheran Foundation of St. Louis. And so Lutheran Foundation has been around for a little over 30 years, was born out of the sale of Lutheran Hospital here in St. Louis. And back in, I believe, 1984 is when the sale happened. And so they've been funding ministry here for over 30 years. And about, I believe, 10 years ago, saw the need to start Send Me. And so Send Me St. Louis has been in various iterations, but today is a capacity building arm or a consulting arm of the foundation. And we focus on two main areas. We work with churches and faith-based nonprofits on how they engage and serve their communities, as well as how they equip people for service. And so all things volunteerism related. So best practices, how to do that in a healthy way. And so we do that through group trainings. We do it through specific trainings at a specific church or nonprofit where we'll tailor that to fit the needs of the church or the organization. We also do a lot of coaching and consulting, as well as connecting church leaders with other church leaders or other nonprofit leaders, and really trying to build collaborations around the belief that we're better together in how we serve the community.
So what drew you to this? Why were you interested in being a part of Send Me St. Louis?
Sure. It's a great question. My wife and I lived in Chicago for the past 12 years, and along the way worked for about 10 years in the faith-based nonprofit space. And so worked for an outreach ministry called Young Life, where I was working with public high school kids, and then spent about 8 years at Concordia University Chicago on the admission side, and then on the retention side. And so it was around that faith-based nonprofit space, but then along the way was doing graduate work in organizational leadership and nonprofit studies, as well as my MDiv, and so doing some graduate theology work. So along the way, entertained the idea of being a pastor, but at the end of the day, settled on my love for the local community and love for the local church and how those two intersect. And so as we started to think about moving back to St. Louis to be near family, I heard about this job from just one networking meeting and said, wow, that job exists where I just get to spend time with pastors and nonprofit leaders and figure out how to kind of give away our knowledge resources and our training resources to help them better kind of live out their mission and live out the gospel in their communities. So kind of stumbled into it, and it was a good fit.
What has been most challenging about that? What seems to be the hurdle or the challenge for congregations or nonprofit organizations to really build capacity to help their members and others serve in the ways they're given to serve?
Sure. I'll start on the church side. And we just work with churches in the St. Louis metro area. And so I'm able to really kind of go deep with a group of churches. I would say one of the roadblocks is we have churches that at one point were very connected to their communities. The people that went to the churches lived in the neighborhoods. And so it was just a very natural, they just naturally connected and they spoke kind of the cultural language very easily that connected them with the neighborhood. As demographics have changed, people have moved out of to the suburbs, and we don't speak the language necessarily of the community, and we don't know how to necessarily connect, and we've really turned inward at points. And so kind of getting congregations to realize that they still are in a community is a big first step, which seems quite basic, but starting there and then providing tools for them to be able to learn about that community. What are the needs? What do they care about? And how can the church enter into that and walk alongside the community? There's some just initial obstacles to getting reorienting people to the fact that the church is there for the community and not just for itself. So that's kind of one of the major things that we work on.
So helping us move from that inward focus, focusing on self and my own needs, maybe my own family's needs or a few other people that I like.
Yeah, exactly. People that are like me. Yeah.
To looking outside and seeing how can I serve my neighbor?
Absolutely.
And who is my neighbor?
That's a great question. And we often will kind of help churches and nonprofits more on the church side kind of define who is their community. Back when people lived near their church, it was easy to understand, oh, this is my neighborhood. And even before cars, it's where you could walk. Today with transportation the way it is, you could live, you know, 30, 45 minutes away from your church. And so how does a church define community? How do they serve the local community near the church? But then also how do they send their people out to wherever they live to really be salt and light in those those spaces.
Good observation with, you know, improvements in transportation. And now with the advance of the internet and communities existing
online.
Virtually.
Yeah. What does that mean?
Right. How does that impact those who live in close proximity to us, you know, geographically, those who live, you know, physically in the same neighborhood, yet we don't even know each other's names. How does that impact us in our own neighborhoods? And as you pointed out, you know, people may drive 35 minutes to be a part of a congregation, 35, 40 minutes, maybe an hour.
Yeah, we actually work with a number of our larger churches on this because as they look at their communities, they don't necessarily see these obvious issues of poverty, although it's there. A lot of it's a little bit more hidden. And so they ask the question, well, how can we mobilize the church to serve the communities? And where a number of them have landed is we just need to teach people what it means to be a disciple of Jesus and then how we send them out to wherever they find themselves to make disciples of Jesus.
Sure.
And so is it in your cul-de-sac? Is it on your block? Where has God placed you? And how can you kind of embody the gospel and serve those people? And in the context of those relationships, you will meet some of those more obvious needs. There's broken marriages. There is hunger. There are all those things. It's definitely it's for every church, it's different as we kind of help them process what it looks like to serve community.
So why should people of all ages get involved in their community? Why should they, you know, I can think of adults, but what about children? Why people of all ages being involved in serving in their own community?
Sure. What we see is that as people engage in serving the community in any way and at any age, it really helps their faith come to life. We do a great job in the church of kind of teaching the faith and kind of this intellectual assent often, and we know kind of our facts and our doctrine, which is needed and necessary. But as people move out into the community, they see that theology kind of at work, and they get to see lives changed and communities changed by the gospel. And so we think that that can happen at every age. And we've seen some churches do it really great where they're, for kids, they're really crafting different ways for them to engage in mission trips locally in their community or through VBS. Helping kids experience that at an early age, but then as people grow older, giving them the tools that they can just start to see their community as their mission field. And it can be less programmatic in those later stages, but in the early stages, giving some handrails for people to really kind of grab onto and understand what it means to serve. But ultimately, we see faith formation being accelerated when people are out serving and having to really put that faith into action.
How do you adapt for each different community? You know, every congregation is in a unique community. Sure, there are some similarities across the board, across congregations and across communities, but how do you do that? Because I'm sure it can't be just like a cookie cutter.
No.
This works here, so it's obviously going to work here as well.
So we've kind of taken the approach to teach kind of skills and ways to think about the community. So for instance, with a congregation, we do a lot on teaching how to listen to your community. And so helping a church identify what are the different groups of people that you should try to connect with in your community to ask, what do you love about this community? What would you love to see different? And so we don't specifically name who they should meet with, but we can kind of give them a framework and say, you should really try to connect with these different rings of the community. Or we'll have them work with a software called Mission Insight, where they can pull down demographics on their community, because that will be different for each neighborhood.
What is that? Tell me a little bit about the software that you use.
Yeah, well, we don't use it. I believe it's either LCEF has the license or the district. But a congregation can contact the district, and they will run a specific demographic study for kind of the area around your church. And so it's a lot of the basic census data, but it also has, I think, what they call kind of like faith attitudes. And so somehow they have this information about the people that live in this community. This is how they think about church and God and faith. And so it can give...
How do they know that?
Yeah, it's a great question. And so they, so that can give them kind of a cross-section of what they're dealing with. But it can't stop there. If you're just looking at a screen, that's one thing. But really getting out there into the community and becoming a part of the community. So we try to encourage churches to say, where's the community already gathering around you? And how can you join in with that? And so if people are already having block parties, you don't necessarily need to start your own, but can you just encourage your people to attend existing functions
sure.
and become part of that social fabric of the community?
it might be pretty quiet around on Sunday mornings, but, you know, on Thursday evenings, the Little League fields are
exactly
packed.
Exactly. Do you need to start a separate baseball team, or can you empower your people to go coach the existing leagues and form relationships that way?
Mm-hmm.
So we see relationships as kind of the foundation for everything, and trying to help churches and nonprofits enter into deeper relationship with those that they serve. That's kind of one of our main metrics.
Can you give me some examples of where this is, where you've seen this, you've seen relationships build, or you've seen a congregation successfully build capacity to serve in their community?
Sure. Yeah. A couple come to mind. One church that we've worked with in a variety of different ways is Holy Cross in the city, which is actually very close to where the Lutheran Hospital was, kind of across the street.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a congregation that really recognized a need to serve youth in their community. And one of their staff people will tell the story of kids were breaking windows in their old school building, and now those kids are part of a program that they have called Intersect, and it's all around kind of arts and after school programming for kids around kind of painting and different drawing and around the arts. And they have engaged a number of their members in that, and it has turned their perspective towards the community to where they are now engaging the parents of those kids, and it's a safe place for kids to come. But it kind of just starts there. They have an art gallery, and the community now comes to art showings. And they also have artists in residence. And now they're pivoting towards even welcoming in, hopefully, a charter school into their old building and renovating another building for a larger Intersect arts program. And so
I'm glad you mentioned that. We're going to learn more about Intersect.
Oh, wonderful.
On Friday.
And they can, good. And they can go into much greater detail on it. But as an outside observer, it's just watching God open this congregation up to the community, and they're doing it in very authentic ways. And so they have people in the congregation that are artists, and so they're using their passions, their gifts, their assets, but also looking at the needs of the neighborhood and saying, kids are just around and they don't have a lot of things to do. And so to me, it's a great...
Which is a dangerous combination. When kids
exactly.
are around and they don't have a lot to do,
exactly,
we find things for them to do that are going to be helpful.
One of the cool things I heard that they did this summer was conflict resolution is an issue in a lot of our city neighborhoods. And so somehow they're using, I think, dance or some art form to teach conflict resolution. And so it's just cool to see God work in really unique ways to meet needs in communities through local churches.
And this all, as you mentioned earlier, through the gifts and talents of the congregation, people in the congregation who are artists or connected to other artists that can help with teaching the programs right there.
Absolutely.
In the neighborhood.
In the neighborhood, in spaces that used to be filled with kids when they were a school for Holy Cross's situation, and now they're filling it up with students, but in a different way. And so it's God is faithful in serving the community. It just looks different at different stages of history.
How often do we overlook our assets, our gifts and talents, the things that God has given us right where we are that we could use right where we are?
We see that a lot. I think the direction some churches have gone is very programmatic, and they will look at what another church has done and they will say, hey, it worked there. Let's just implement it here.
We want to be just like them.
Exactly. You know, that's the big thriving church. And so we really at the start of working with a congregation really try to pull back and say, what are you passionate about? Where has God placed you? And then we do even a process called asset mapping. It's a interactive kind of brainstorming session on steroids where we help them identify assets in five different categories. And then we have them group those assets around actionable projects that they could do in the community. And then we have people vote and they walk around the idea that makes them come to life. And so it's a really energizing process, and it reorients everything to say, this is everything God's given you. How can we leverage that towards serving a need in the community versus starting from a needs-based perspective where, hey, we have this need, but we don't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
No, you have everything that you need to work on that. So
God has given you everything you need to serve in the ways that he's called you to serve.
Yes, absolutely.
That's so simple.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and we look right past it.
It is. And I think today we can often just be down on the church and down on kind of our situation. But I think if we can look at things in a different perspective and know that God goes before us and we're joining in with what he is already doing, I think it can flip the tables and give us hope.
Well, Intersect at Holy Cross is a great example. Any other examples that come to mind?
Yeah, there's another. Most of these examples have come more from city congregations, but we do work, of course, in the metro area. But another church, Messiah, is located on South Grand. And they, again, one of these common threads is they have some folks in their congregation that really care about affordable housing, and they have a real estate background. And from that, they are pursuing affordable housing for immigrants in their neighborhood. They're really close to the International Center. And so there's a lot of immigrants that need quality housing, and they've had some experiences where they've learned firsthand that a lot of the housing that some of these immigrants will end up in is not safe. And so through the resources of the church and some specific individuals, they're pursuing affordable housing, they're pursuing a charter school, they're pursuing and then trying to build the kind of a bridge between those that might live in these new affordable housing units, between them and the church, and how can the church provide wraparound care and support?
And they're working with the Peace Center, right? And CFNA,
Integrate with the Peace Center at CFNA down the street, and trying to bring together all those different resources. In St. Louis, we have such a wide variety of resources. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's just coordinating that and bringing it kind of all together to serve people.
Absolutely.
So that's a great example there.
Well, wonderful to hear that. You know, quite often when we look at cities, cities like St. Louis and other similar cities, and we think of those city congregations, urban congregations, sometimes the word decline comes to mind, but that's really not the case when they start looking at how have they been gifted and how can they serve right in their own communities.
And we also see a group of people that are reclaiming those neighborhoods and saying, we both want to go to church here, but we also want to live here. And developing kind of a theology of place, and that gives great ownership. And so we see that with a number of our not just our city churches, but kind of around saying, all right, where has God placed us? We need to care about this. So
how does this perspective, you know, taking on this recognizing that we live in a community, or that our congregation is in a community, how does this make a difference for families? How does this make a difference for mom, dad, the kids, or whatever, you know, it might be a single mom and kids or single dad and kids. How does it make a difference for families who are involved in congregations that start looking at how can we serve in our community?
Yeah, I think it provides, I go back to this idea of faith formation. As a family, being able to engage in a service project in the community, I think it's a powerful thing, because afterwards, we always talk in Send Me St. Louis a lot about the need for reflection in the midst of service. And so as we're serving, kind of drawing back and saying, how is God using this to shape me more into the image of Christ? And so I, you know, from a family perspective, being able to ask your kids, where did you see God moving today? And where did you feel strengthened by him in the midst of serving? I think it can provide some really cool conversations, and really formative conversations for families, and bringing a family together around a shared purpose and a shared vision to really live out the gospel.
How can congregations find out about Send Me St. Louis?
Sure.
How can they, you know, what does it take to learn more, to do something like asset mapping and things like that?
The best place to kind of get an overview of us is, of course, at our website. That's www.sendmestlouis.org. There you can learn all about the different trainings that we do. So we do about 6 to 7 trainings per fall and spring, and most are held out at Lutheran Arm Ministries. And so we've got 2 that are coming up. I'll give you those dates. One is on Wednesday, August 24th, and that's going to be about building engaged boards. So that's for more of our nonprofit and church leaders to get their board of directors engaged in a more dynamic way. And then on Tuesday, September 13th, we'll be talking about volunteer placement. How do we assess and discover the gifts of our people and get them matched up with good volunteer opportunities? So the website's a great way to kind of learn about what we do and find out about the group trainings. In terms of asset mapping and more of these tailored trainings, really, I'm the entry point for that. And so I take a lot of people to coffee. you can find my contact information on our website. Would love to learn about the context and learn about the congregation or nonprofit and figure out helpful ways that Send Me can partner with you.
We just got back from, not too long ago, from the LCMS National Youth Gathering, 25,000 youth. Some of our youth recently said, you know, we went to this gathering, we had a wonderful time, we got to participate in servant events there. We did something as simple as painting in a school. And for us, it was really simple, you know, paintbrush or a roller, painting a wall. It was really easy. All we had to do was show up and, you know, use a little muscle and paint this wall. But for the people in that school, for the administrator in that school who was there that day, this was huge for
her.
It made a huge difference for her. Wow. What can we do in our own community? Mm-hmm. I mean, this was so simple. There have to be simple things we can do in our own community.
Absolutely.
This is what our youth said. What would you say to a young person who says that? There has to be a way that we can serve in our community, or a number of ways we can serve in our community. It's really not that hard.
Yeah, I would definitely say take that energy and bring it back to the community. Bring it back to your local community and begin to talk to your church leaders about what are ways that we are actively serving. Maybe there's ways you aren't aware of that your church is already serving the local community. If not, see if you can kind of be part of that effort to encourage the church to not just look internationally, which is needed, but to look right in their backyard and look at the mission field that's right outside their doors. And if the church isn't doing something, there's also look at nonprofits that are already serving specific needs in your community and go volunteer there. There's a number of ways that, you don't need to go to New Orleans or abroad to serve, although that's needed. But right here locally, there's some simple things I think that you can do.
I think it was something, for them, for our youth to step outside of their own community and see how simple it really
is
to do something as simple as painting.
Well, and a lot of times these grassroots kind of efforts to youth, to anyone, I would just say, just start paying attention to the community. When you come to church, don't just go in the door, sit down, and then leave. Start to just spend time listening, looking around, and just starting to see where might there be some needs and where might my passions intersect that. Mm-hmm. And regardless of age, begin to work towards addressing those. And people will join in because people can tell when God is on the move and they want to be a part of it.
So that means also being involved in things in the community.
Absolutely.
As well, so you can be aware of what the
Absolutely.
Needs are. Reading the local news.
Read the local paper. Join the Facebook pages. Join Nextdoor. Mm-hmm. Follow different individuals on Twitter. Become part of that relational fabric in the community. Go to the same coffee shop. Go to the same restaurant consistently.
Have a coffee shop yet? Build one?
I don't know. I don't think that coffee shops are always the answer. Go to the local gas station. You know, this looks different in rural communities and suburban communities. Find where people gather and become a part of that. Is it the park? Is it the skating rink? Whatever it might be. It plays out in every community differently.
I think there is a true need if there's no coffee shop. Right? That's a true need in and of itself. Matt, always a pleasure to talk with you. We get to talk off the air every once in a while. Nice to actually have
it's
you in
to
studio
you.
Today and spend some time talking about Send Me St. Louis. Again, real quickly before we go, where can we find out more?
Yeah, our website, www.sendmestlouis.org, is the best place to get our contact information about our upcoming trainings and other services.
Very good. Send Me St. Louis, a part of Lutheran Foundation
of
here
St. Louis,
in St. Louis.
Yes.
Thanks so much for being my guest. A pleasure to talk with you. Matt Miller, Social Service Outreach and Volunteerism Specialist for Send Me St. Louis. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word. We're continuing our study of God's Word. While Pastor Wheaton is out, we're revisiting some of our previous studies today, taking a look at Ephesians chapter 4. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.